are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Thursday, December the 18th. And the Pistons lose in front of a road crowd at home. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast this holiday season. Today, we're going to run down the loss Wednesday to the Toronto Raptors. I'm going to give you my three biggest takeaways for the game, including the latest on Christian Wood from the post game. I'm also going to give you a little bit of a mea culpa from your host. I realize that turned into a bit of a parody of myself in our last show on Tuesday. But give me a follow on Twitter, despite that, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But apologies, we didn't have an episode on Wednesday. Sorry about that. I was on the road covering Michigan State football for a couple days, stayed up in East Lansing, and more importantly than that, spilled a little coffee on the old laptop, so gave me a little minor freak out for half a day, but everything appears to be okay. Might need to get a new keyboard, but we'll deal with that as time goes on. No delete key nowadays, I think, is the biggest casualty in the whole thing, so makes writing a little bit tougher when you can't erase anything, but you got to get creative in that way. But anyway, moving on. Apologies. Thanks for your patience. But the Pistons lose to Toronto on Wednesday night at Little Caesars Arena. 112-99 is the final score. Hopefully, you follow me on Twitter and got some free money out of it, by the way. Pistons were only 2-point dogs somehow. Take Toronto. Thank me later. Even without Marc Gasol for most of this one and Fred VanVleet for this one as well, the Pistons were waxed pretty good. Falling to 11-17 on the season, 6 games under 500, now 10th alone in the Eastern Conference, but still just a game and a half behind Orlando for 8th place in the Eastern Conference. But if you know, if you listen to this show, you know it's a little bit more bleak than that, given the scheduling realities of the early season. And later on in the season, Pistons now 1-7 against the NBA's good teams, with that one win coming Saturday against the Houston Rockets. If you watch this game, you know 3-point shooting was the biggest reason here, the biggest story here for this individual game. Pistons shoot 6 of 35 from 3 for 17%. By a wide margin, the worst 3-point shooting of the season for the Stones. 21% was the previous low, and this again was 17%. So it was as bad as it looked and as bad as it felt if you're rooting for the home team. The Raptors go 13 of 35 from 3, 37%. Nothing to write home about, but they were much better early when they climbed on top in this one. I'll touch on this 3-point shooting a little bit more later, but the leaders in this one, 22 and 18 for Andre Drummond. He was pretty good after missing 2 games, especially early on. He was very good. 16 points and 5 assists for Derrick Rose off the bench. I thought he was okay. 15 for Blake Griffin, 12 for Bruce Brown. Blake returns after a game and a half absence as well. Both Bruce Brown and Andre Drummond had 4 turnovers, but we've come to expect that from both this season, especially with the ball in their hands a little bit more than usual. Andre less so on Wednesday night, but Bruce obviously needs to improve the handle going forward, and Andre needs to improve the decision making if he wants to take his ball skills to the next level. The Pistons gave up 70 points to Toronto in the first half and then 42 the rest of the way. Toronto went cold, but the defense was pretty good in the second half. I will give them that, led by Andre Drummond. But for the Toronto Raptors, Pascal Siakam, 26 points, 6 3-pointers made, 4 block shots for the big fella as well. Pistons fans watching him just salivating, thinking that Sekou Doumbouya could possibly be that someday, or some sort of facsimile of Pascal Siakam. We can dream, can't we? 25 and 13 from Serge Ibaka, 20, 10, and 10 for Kyle Lowry in his first triple-double of the season. But my first point is this. Am I the only one who gets a little bit less upset on these losses this time of year because it might encourage a little bit of the sell if you're on my side and thinking a little bit, or maybe even a lot, of a rebuild is where this team should be going? Certainly not a buy. You know, I was watching Kyle Lowry thinking, man, that's the type of trade that maybe in a different universe that this front office would make, giving up assets for Kyle Lowry. And I know I talked about DeMar DeRozan. I still believe that if it's just a salary dump, that San Antonio wants. And if somehow Kyle Lowry is just a salary dump, I don't think there's any possibility of that happening. But if the Spurs really want to move on and just get rid of DeMar's contract, I'm still listening, by the way. But looking ahead, I feel like this season, in big picture terms, is actually going pretty okay in terms of the future, where this franchise could be 2-3 years from now. Derrick Rose and Langston Galloway both playing well, becoming legit trade assets. Christian Wood, Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Sekou Doumbouya, all developing in different ways as the year goes on. The losses also giving the big picture a clearer vision of what needs to happen, I think, I hope, we'll see. But Andre, I know he's the lightning rod. A lot of people like myself thinking it might be time to move on or at least lowball him on a contract offer, but he's playing well right now. The trade value or the confidence that you should keep him are all in pretty high places. No matter where you are on that one, you feel pretty good about either side of it. Blake, it's a bummer, but maybe down the line he could possibly reestablish himself as a trade piece towards the very end of this big contract in terms of a dump. And he could be a nice locker room presence on the inside while this team develops a little bit, while the young guys work on things. And also Reggie Jackson not taking the ball out of anyone's hands. He would make this team better if he was healthy, but the development is a little bit more important right now than a few more wins might be to the larger picture. I think 11-17 in some ways, looking at the trade deadline, looking at the decisions, might be better than like having a 15-14 record and having this illusion that everything goes okay and this team is just fine and all of that. But teams that might not like the larger picture in this one from Wednesday night are the Toronto Raptors. They lost Marc Gasol, Norman Powell, both of them on injuries that both look like they could be, you know, fairly tough for those players to get over. Might miss some games, maybe some weeks going forward. We'll see how those shake down. And certainly no love lost between these two teams. It wasn't chippy, but certainly the crowd going back and forth, cheering. Not a lot of derisiveness. It didn't seem like a nasty atmosphere. But every time a team made a good play, you heard a lot of cheers because there were a lot of fans for both teams in the crowd. But the Pistons returned to action, going back on the road on Friday night in Boston, where they've never won ever. I'll check that, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Chicago back here in Detroit on Saturday night at home, the second half of a back-to-back. The Bulls are dreadful. They came back and won in overtime on Wednesday night, though. The Philly 76ers will be in Detroit on Monday, and that's it before Christmas. Washington comes to Detroit again the day after Christmas at LCA. I'll be at the Quick Lane Bowl that night covering it. I hate to brag, but that's where I'll be, across the street. Come see me. Maybe we'll meet somewhere after the game, have a drink, commiserate about the Eastern Pittsburgh game and the Pistons-Washington Wizards game. A lot going on the night after Christmas in downtown Detroit. But speaking of a lot going on, the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/LockedNBA and using LockedNBA as a promo code at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. And if you're listening right now, you can't visit casper.com/LockedNBA. You can find this and all other offers from the Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Up next, I'm going to give you my three takeaways from this one here in Detroit. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'll give you my mea culpa to share from the show the other day, but let's get into the three takeaways from Wednesday night. I was optimistic and called Christian Wood's takeaway an honorable mention one because I was hoping that it wasn't a big injury for him, and more indications trickle in that that is the case, that it is not a big injury, so good news for the Pistons there. James Edwards III of The Athletic tweeted out about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night that sources tell Sam Charania and him that tests show Pistons big man Christian Wood has avoided serious injury and his timetable to return is unclear. Wood left in the first half of tonight's game against the Raptors. So, good news there. Obviously, we'll learn more in the coming days about Christian Wood, but you know, it's just a little bit of a scary moment for a non-contact injury with the knee. Looked like he was returning to shoot around and possibly get ready for the second half, but then went back to the locker room. I don't know if that testing that he was doing on it failed or if there was more pain or something, but obviously all the indications are good news so far for Christian Wood. One of the only positives, one of the only really fun things about the Pistons so far this year. My third takeaway and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think you need to go to Andre Drummond in the post more. The guy is getting it done down there lately, especially lately, and it seems like they just get away from him sometimes after he has some pretty good starts. He'll get cold, I'm sure, and I'll feel silly for saying this, but maybe you can add a dimension to the offense if you can get him to pass out of the post for threes. And like I said, he's getting it done early, and just let him keep it going until the wheels fall off a little bit, especially for a team that has limited offensive options as it is. It could be an option for them offensively going forward, maybe something to rely on a little bit. And one of the main reasons I say this is you need to be in evaluation mode with Andre Drummond right now. See what you've got. See what kind of contract you want to be offering him. See what kind of contract offers from other teams that you might want him to match or go above. I know it's not an offer sheet situation, but during the negotiation process, if other teams are offering such and such, you might want to boost your offer up and you want to know what you got. So see if he can make his post presence an asset this year. See if that's something you feel good about going forward. His numbers are really good on it this year. He's had really good first quarters throughout the last few weeks. And then they kind of get away from him offensively a little bit. And, you know, if that's the strategy, that's fine. If you feel like you've outlasted that a little bit, man, I'd like to see him fail a little bit more before they go away from him so early on in the game. And again, we've seen years and years of evidence that Andre Drummond post-ups aren't good offense, but they are right now, and you kind of need to ride what's hot while it's hot. And I think the Pistons and Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff need to consider that. And I think that as far as this good first quarters, I think part of that is Bruce kind of being more facilitator out there, not so aggressive, and that's paying off for some guys. And I know that maybe that's not ideal. You want to have a more offensive-minded point guard at the end of the day. But as Bruce develops, maybe that could happen with him going forward. But when you have like a Derrick Rose in there in the middle quarters and he gets more of his minutes later on in the game, he's driving more. You know, he's dominating the ball a little bit more. And again, with Rose, I'm not criticizing that because it's the best offense the Pistons have at their disposal at times. Rose has been excellent this year. But I don't feel like sometimes that other players are getting better when Derrick Rose is out there. The development question that keeps coming up. We've talked about Luke Kennard in crunch time specifically, but just other things like other players getting action, other players getting shots. I don't feel like Derrick Rose has great court sense in terms of finding open shooters. He drops off to big men sometimes and does get some decent assist numbers, but I don't feel like I watch a lot of Derrick Rose passes and think, man, really great that he was able to see that. So it just... not only is Derrick Rose an asset that could be traded, but you might have a little bit of addition by subtraction in terms of development. The team doesn't get better when Derrick Rose gets traded, no doubt about that. You get worse. But guys might get more chances to develop if he's gone. My second biggest takeaway, and this is, you know, couldn't be more obvious, Luke Kennard needs to shoot more. Breaking news on that one. Put up the Chiron on CNN. Breaking news, Luke Kennard needs to shoot more. 2 for 5 from the field on Wednesday night, a comically low number based on 32 minutes of action. We were talking about how 11 shots was comically low, especially without Andre and Blake the other night on Monday. And we took it to him a little bit here on this show Tuesday after the game on Monday, criticizing him. Dwayne Casey after the game Monday was so defensive about it in the post-game interview that you knew that it kind of struck a nerve with him for whatever reason. And then it went ahead and got so much worse on Wednesday night against the Raptors. They got to figure it out, whatever that means. Even if it means the nuclear option and making Luke available in trades this year or maybe this summer, he's a good asset. He's a very good asset that could get you a lot, possibly the Pistons' best asset. I know a lot of you guys are thinking, Matt, you're crazy. He's a non-tradable option right now, a foundation piece to the future, and I agree with that. But I'm not sure if it's ever going to click completely with this coach and this player for whatever reason. And keep in mind, Luke Kennard's due for an extension at the end of next year. And you need to start thinking about, and not start, you need to already be thinking about as a front office and as a fan base, do you want to give Luke Kennard $60 million as a long-term contract or more than that to play a role that's something similar to this? And obviously you hope that things develop and he, you know, naturally occurs as he has so far in his career, that it gets more and more and more. But we just find ourselves wanting more from Luke Kennard, especially as a, you know, primarily offensive player. You can't have a primarily offensive player out there that's not getting it done and not someone you can rely on night in and night out. Again, not completely his fault, and maybe it is more on the coaching staff at times, but it's something that needs to get figured out or else maybe the front office needs to step in and do whatever needs to be done for it to work. And I think that, you know, Dwayne Casey's not someone who's on the chopping block or someone who's in danger of being fired anytime soon. So maybe you think about the other thing, and maybe you think about getting rid of the player. Obviously, this is, again, the nuclear option, and assistant coaches and the coaching staff in general, and Luke Kennard as a player, there's a long road that needs to be taken, and many more failures need to be had before the nuclear option needs to kick in. But at a time when you're thinking about assets and thinking about the future of your team, it's something that I think is should be entertained maybe more so than the average Pistons fan in terms of trading Luke Kennard sometime soon. Just it's something you need to think about. I think you need to have a little bit of urgency here, especially thinking about a timetable with Luke Kennard's extension. It might be an aggressive timetable for him when he needs to get paid, because you're still going to have Blake Griffin for the next 2 years. And I think it's realistic with a rebuild that Blake's final 2 years coming up here are kind of the building years. If you can't get rid of him and he's going to be here with that big contract, and maybe thinking about being a serious contender the year after Blake is gone, and that's already when Luke Kennard's got his big money at that point. So, and you know, he's not a nine-figure guy, but still, just adding a $15 to $22 million contract to your team is a big number, and something you need to be thinking about. It's great when he's on a rookie contract and he could be good every now and then or so, but if you need to pay him to be your third best player, your fourth best player on your cap sheet, then the production needs to be there night in and night out. So, not tanking, but just a sizable step back next year maybe if you can deal Langston Galloway and Rose this year or this summer, and think about, you know, trading or making your final decision on Andre Drummond this summer and developing the young guys, and maybe Luke Kennard getting paid a lot of money 2 years from now doesn't quite fit that timetable. Just something to think about there. But my first and biggest takeaway from this game is the three-pointers. It was the reason the Pistons lost, the number one reason the Pistons lost, not the reason, of course. I'm not going to lie, though, and say woe is me, and the Pistons just got clanked out of this one. You still can win games when you shoot poorly. Other teams proved that to the Pistons in the first 27 games of the season. The Pistons came into this game shooting 38.5% from three, second in the NBA, allowing 36.3% from three, 18th in the league, scoring comfortably more than one more three-pointer than their opponents per game, and shooting more than 2% better than their opponents so far this season. So house is money right now, and at 11-17, that's not very money right now. Guys have been money. We'll go with the money metaphor the rest of the way. Tony Snell net 45.2% from three coming into this game. Again, Tony Snell, 45.2% from three. He's a good three-point shooter, but that's way above his average. Svi Mykhailiuk, 43.1. Christian Wood, 42.9. Langston Galloway, 42.2. Markieff Morris, 41.6. Those are astronomical numbers. Luke Kennard, 39.4, right about his average, but his volume has gone up this year, so that's a pretty high number as well. Thon Maker, 50%. 7 of 14, sample size, blah, blah, blah. But still, even Derrick Rose and Bruce Brown, two guys that are not good three-point shooters, at 33% at decent volume. So you'll take that. So guys are overperforming from three-point land. Now, I don't expect 17% too often the rest of the year. Hopefully this is the worst three-point shooting game of the season. But as a fan base, we need to be prepared for the fact that this team is going to, you know, come to the middle a little bit. There's going to be the regression to the mean. This team might have a lot of games where they're shooting 28% from three, 30% from three, 24% from three. You got to still win these games. And I know the Toronto Raptors are tough, but this was a winnable game. Toronto looked very bad at times, especially early on in the fourth quarter. Went through droughts. Obviously, some defense gets the credit for that. But this is a team with Gasol out through most of the game, Van Vliet out, Powell out during the end of the game. A team that was susceptible to get beat tonight, and it didn't happen, and another opportunity slips away. I mean, if you would have told me that these offensive three-point numbers were the way they were, if you would have read me that list through 28 games with this schedule that I knew they had, I would say that the Pistons would be like 19-9 or something crazy like that, something like the last couple years start to the seasons. Really, I would have guessed maybe even 20 wins, something crazy. The regression is coming, and it came tonight, no doubt about that. Snell was 1-for-8 from the field. Langston Galloway, 1-for-6. I'm sorry, from 3. Snell, 1-for-8. Langston, 1-for-6. Blake, 1-for-5. His misery continues on jump shots. Svi Mykhailiuk, 0-for-2. Markieff Morris and Derrick Rose were 0-for-4 apiece. Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown were the only ones who had a good night shooting threes, combining for 3-for-6. And by the way, I'm jotting down a little note here that Langston Galloway was shooting 42.9% from three when the clock struck midnight on December 15th. And I was telling you guys that they should have traded him literally that day. Since then, in the two games since the unofficial start to the trade deadline, Langston Galloway is 4 of 16 from 3, 25%, already down from 42.9 to 41.3 in two games. 40, to me, just like we talked about with Reggie Bullock last year, feels like kind of the magic number. You need to stay above that, and your value is just like a tick or two better, just because front offices might look at that number and say, wow, 40% shooter, we can really sell that to the fan base. That can really help us out. 39.9, it's like, ah, oh, he's just another guy. So keep it above 40, Langston. I know the regression is going to be coming, but keep it above 40, and let's make you as valuable as possible to teams around the NBA. And please also, speaking of numbers, let's stay conservative with Derrick Rose's minutes. Keep him healthy. Don't back-to-back him and Blake this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And by the way, you know, I'll throw it out there again. Consider the stagger. One plays one night on Friday. The other plays the other night on Saturday, based on the matchups. Who plays well against Boston? Who plays well against Chicago? Matchup-wise, and maybe even, hey, we ain't beating Boston on the road. Let's put both of them in the game against Chicago. Make sure we win that game. Just some thoughts for the load management strategy for Dwayne Casey. Some free advice from the Locked On Pistons podcast. But some other free advice for Christmas shopping. If you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to breaking.com/lockedon. Breaking Tee makes sports T-shirts around teams' passion moments. So if you got a great idea for a T-shirt, make it, buy it. Great for all fans. Go to breakingtee.com/lockedon and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. Again, that's breakingtee.com/lockedon. Check it out there. Up next, got a little mea culpa to share about the lightning rod topic for the Detroit Pistons. I'll get on my knees and ask for forgiveness for you guys. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And just a little bit of a mea culpa from Tuesday's show, and I you could hear it in my voice as I was talking about it, with the Andre Drummond situation with the Avocados. And I stand by most of it, by the way, of what I said on Tuesday. But the sunglasses part of it was me going over the line. I had some people contact me on Tuesday to kind of hash it out with me a little bit over text and direct messages on Twitter and everything. And again, it wasn't like crazy offensive. Please go back and listen to it. You'll be shocked about how probably little of a deal it is now that I'm kind of revisiting it on this show here. But we talked about how I didn't think it was particularly funny anymore that Andre Drummond had the avocado allergic reaction, as it started to cause him to miss a couple of games. And he got bailed out on Saturday by the team playing so well in his absence and getting the win in Houston that it actually didn't cause a negative reaction to anyone. But then on Monday, they drop another game to a crap team, and he would have made a big difference in that one, defensively most notably, but also a guy who's would have been the best player on the court for the Pistons that night. They probably beat the Washington Wizards, another crap team that they lose to, if he was out there. So as a guy who was covering that game, and just keep in mind that not only am I invested as a fan in some ways like you are, and I know I tiptoe this weird line between fan and journalist, and I hope that you guys appreciate both sides of it and maybe think that both sides of it kind of bring something to the show at times. I think I that's what I kind of think anyway. But in addition to that, I get like extra frustrated with this team sometimes because I look at the podcast numbers and I know that not only the podcast numbers are noticeably worse when the Pistons lose games and they go into the tank. People don't want to listen to the Locked On Pistons podcast when the Pistons suck. Totally understand that for some of you guys. But it literally takes money out of my pocket when the Pistons lose games. So I'm starting to kind of do some self-reflection on that and maybe think about the fact that, you know, maybe it's not if I'm mad about something like Andre Drummond or I'm mad about the Pistons, I probably need to think a little bit about what I'm going to say going into a podcast, especially when we talk about things like Andre Drummond, who is such a lightning rod with this fan base. We know that. And also, he's a guy. I mean, he's a likable guy that's represented the city of Detroit and done it in a very good way. And if he wants to wear whatever sunglasses he wants to wear, that's fine. And if I'm irritated about it, if I think that he should wear normal sunglasses instead of some gold-plated ones that are kind of the look at me version, then guess what? That's my problem. That's a Matt Shook problem. That's not an Andre Drummond problem. He can do whatever he wants. And I know a lot of you guys, and myself included, we appreciate that Andre Drummond's a real dude. We appreciate that Andre Drummond's kind of a fun-loving guy. And, there are times where it gets a little frustrating for whatever reason. But I was just out of line, so I apologize to you guys if I got too deep into Andre Drummond or was out of line there, and I was. So I'll admit that. But still, no, I don't think it's funny about Avocado Gate, and I do think there is a level of responsibility and blame that Andre Drummond should get for that. If he has such a debilitating allergy that he has, he needs to know about that and deal with it, especially in Mexico, especially when the NBA is keeping close tabs and available to assist their star players. This is the last thing that they wanted to happen, and not the last thing, but it is a thing that they didn't want to happen, and I'm sure he could have been helped out if he really sought out those kind of things. But no big deal. Let's move on. Andre's back on the court, and apologize to the Andre Drummond stands out there, the 0.1% chance that he's ever listened to Andre Drummond to the Locked On Pistons podcast. I apologize, big fella. Or more likely than that, and still not very likely at all, if someone hears the show and passes along that there's some blowhard that's ripping into him about his eyewear selections. Again, knew it was a little bit dumb coming out of my mouth, and as I thought about it the next day, realized that it was probably even dumber. But anyway, hope we're all moving past that here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I had a couple of voicemails. We'll play those tomorrow. Pretty sure we'll have time. So, and we'll also look ahead to Boston and the other team they're playing this weekend. Chicago coming in town on Saturday. We'll look ahead to that tomorrow's show. Be ready for that here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Talk to you guys on tomorrow.